This is the SF Signal Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Patrick Hester, and today I have an interview I did while on faculty at the Pikes Peak Writers Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. PPWC, as it's called, is held every year in April and is a great conference for writers of all levels. Each year, the folks at PPWC bring in the best of the best as keynote speakers, and this year was heavy with genre authors such as Chuck Wendig, Gail Carriger, and my guest today, Jim C. Hines. Jim C. Hines is best known as a fantasy novelist and the guy who did those gender-flipped SF&F cover poses. His first novel was Goblin Quest, the tale of the nearsighted goblin Runt and his pet fire spider. Actor and author Will Wheaton described the book as too effing cool for words, which is pretty much the best blurb ever. After completing the Goblin trilogy, Jim went on to write the Princess series, four books often described as a blend of Grimm's fairy tales with Charlie's Angels. He's currently working on the Magic Ex Libris books. I probably mispronounced that, but hey, he's not here. Which follow the adventures of a magic-wielding librarian from northern Michigan. To learn more about the Pikes Peak Writers Conference, please visit pikespeakwriters.com. But until then, here's Jim.
So I'm sitting here at the Pikes Peak Writers Conference with Jim Hines. Do you prefer Jim Hines or Jim C. Hines? Is it official? Is it like...
On my books, I like my C.
Okay, you like
in
your
person, C. I'm just Jim.
You're just Jim.
Yeah.
And I'm curious how you're liking Colorado.
I'm loving it so far.
Yeah? You can breathe here?
Well, there was a little passing out.
Okay.
I'm not going to run any marathons this weekend.
But, of course not.
You know, I lived out west for a year in Nevada.
Okay.
And then went back to Michigan. So finally coming back to a state that has actual mountains is just beautiful.
Mountains are awesome. Yes, we love mountains. When my mom moved here, she had a hard time getting around, and she says, well, I just need landmarks, something to tell me the directions, north, south, east, and west. And I pointed to the mountains in the west and said, what about those?
That should do it.
So I want to know a little bit of what you're planning on doing here at the conference. You're definitely doing like a keynote.
I've got a keynote. I've got a workshop that I'm giving on getting through your first draft.
Okay.
There is a panel that a group of us are doing about diversity.
I know about that.
I believe there's also some critiquing workshop style. Beyond that, I'm planning to hang out and chat with writers and have a good time.
Good. Have you ever done a conference like this before?
I've done a few.
Okay.
I think the last one that was similar was the Surrey Writing Conference up in Canada.
I have heard that there's a lot of similarities between this one and Surrey.
It has some of the same feel. Both of them really well organized and put together. Ask me more at the end of the weekend, and I should be able to give you more points of comparison.
Do you? I'm curious about the writing part of this, and we're going to get into your books in a second. But from the standpoint of the person out there listening who might have an inkling that they want to write, or the person who is actually writing, when do you suggest that they attend a conference like this?
Oh, good question.
Yes.
Well done. 5 points to Patrick's house. Partly, it's going to be when you have the time and money to be able to do it.
Not cheap.
No.
It's like a Worldcon.
In some respects, yeah. I don't think there's one right answer.
Okay.
What the conference can give you, what writing conferences in general can give you, is first of all, a connection to other writers.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot to be said for that realization that you are not alone.
Right.
You are not the only one who lies awake at night dreaming about werewolves in tuxedos doing Broadway musicals or whatever it is you happen to be writing about. And if you'll excuse me for a second, I want to write down that werewolf idea. I think you should probably have been writing at least for a little while.
Okay.
You know, finish a few things, get some of the very basics down that, oh, I've written some stories, I've done this, I have at least a little idea what I'm getting into. But beyond that, you know, I've talked to people who came here brand new, made a lot of connections, met a lot of cool people.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually talking to Carol Berg earlier today, who said she met her first editor here.
Yeah, Carol's awesome. I've been on panels with her at Mile High Con.
OK. Carol's great.
She is.
She's fun.
And she's going to be on our diversity panel, if I'm not mistaken, which we're going to be recording later. But I'm also curious, did you, before you were published, did you come to stuff like this? Did you decide, oh, gosh, you know, I want to go have that experience?
Before I was published, no.
Okay.
I didn't even really have an awareness that this stuff existed.
Hmm.
I mean, this is back in the ancient days of the late 90s, when the internet was a new and growing thing. I didn't realize what was out there.
Okay.
Once I started getting a few short stories published, I found out, oh, there are these things called science fiction fantasy conventions.
Mm-hmm.
I should check those out because I'm a writer now and that's what we do. And I went to a convention and, to be totally honest, I was miserable. I was a whole bunch of people I didn't know. I felt like pretty much a nobody as a writer. Like, look at me, I've published 2 short stories.
Try going to a Worldcon as a podcaster.
Well, as a podcaster, you can at least... I would think that you could go up to people like George R.R. Martin mm-hmm. and say, hey, I'm a podcaster, I can put you on SF Signal, let's go sit down and chat for a few minutes, and you've got that as an in. What I needed... And what I really advise for people now is first conference, first convention, first whatever, take a friend. You know, if it's somebody who's done this stuff before, great. You know, they can do some introductions. They can help you get into it. If not, at least you're still not ending up in that position of, oh, I'm completely alone and have no idea what I'm doing.
That was my mistake. I went to Reno by myself.
Reno Worldcon?
Yes.
Ooh.
And it was a bad con in the first place. I mean, with the buses going back and forth and circling around, 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 around. And just being there by yourself, it was rough. It was rough. Luckily for me, the ink punks were there and kind of took me in. But I completely get what you're saying. And then I know I harp on Worldcon a lot because I love it. I think it's a great con for the most part. And one thing that John DiNardo and I are very, very grateful for was Jay Lake.
It's funny you say that, because not the first con I went to, but a few conventions later, I tried a World Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I had pretty much the same experience, but mm-hmm. I wandered into, I don't remember if it was the Green Room or the Con Suite or what, and Jay Lake and Frank Wu were sitting at a table there.
Mm-hmm.
And these were people whose names I knew from the speculations bulletin board.
Sure.
And so I did the thing of, I'm going to go say hi to these author and artist people. And they were very friendly, mm-hmm. and they just sort of, hey, is this your first time to this convention? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, great, come on, come with us. We're going to go introduce you to people. We're going to take you around. And it was only about like 10 minutes, but it made such a huge difference.
Yes.
Suddenly, I knew some people. I had connected to a few other people. It helped a lot.
Well, DiNardo and I were in Chicago, and I had an interview with Jay.
Uh-huh.
And this was just when he found out that the cancer was back. And we had a very candid conversation. I wasn't even going to talk about it, but he went right into it. And so we had a very candid conversation. We recorded it for the podcast. It's out there.
Right.
And afterwards, he said, so you guys are up for Hugo's? And we said, yeah, and we're completely overwhelmed. We have no idea what the hell we're doing. We're just lost. And he put his arms around us and he said, okay, this is how it works. And he explained everything. And he just took us through the whole process and, you know, told us where we were going to be and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And we're just sitting there going, wow. And it just made us feel so much better. Mm-hmm. And we were so much more relaxed after that. So, yeah, I totally get that. Hugo Awards.
Number one advice.
Yes.
When you're up there on stage,
mm-hmm.
do not fondle the Hugo.
No.
Be very aware of how you are holding that.
Yes. And I also found out that because I'm a big, tall guy, I'm supposed to lean into the microphone. Because what I was saying, no one heard.
Which I've never had that problem.
Okay. Now, you have done... I want to talk about your books. Let's talk about your books first, and then I'll talk about other stuff.
Okay.
The really creative, imaginative stuff, like Libramancer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Why don't you just give people a quick rundown? If they want the Jim C. Hines experience, if they want the introduction into your brain, your thoughts, which book should they pick first?
why would anybody want that? It really depends.
Okay.
I mean, I've got three different series out there right now, and they all have different aspects of Jim Brain.
Okay.
The Goblin series is the gamer geek and the underdog and the part of me that enjoys a good nose-picking joke.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I think a drink has been named after the goblins.
Yes.
At the bar.
The bar here, they have Goblin Whiz.
Yes.
Which I need to go and try.
Yes. Anyway, goblins.
Yes. And that actually is very in keeping with the spirit of the goblin books. It's very much humorous fantasy. It's okay. The little underdog goblin who wants nothing to do with this hero crap. Mm. And unfortunately, he gets dragged into it again and again. It's fun. There are some gaming and D&D references in there. And it's probably the lightest thing I've done. The Princess series is more the feminist action hero side of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote these when my daughter was going through a princess phase. And my goal was to take Cinderella and Snow White and Sleeping Beauty and turn them into action heroes. So Sleeping Beauty is a ninja, and
nice.
Snow White is a witch, and they run around and fight crime, and The Little Mermaid is actually this sort of mad, not entirely evil, but really nasty, dark, vicious person. And then in another book, you've got Red Riding Hood, who has grown up to be an assassin, and just playing with all of these old fairy tales, but doing it in a very female-centric way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to put these characters center stage. One of the reviews that I've gotten from time to time from people is, these books are a lot of fun, but there really aren't any guy characters taking center stage. And
that's
I read
the
these
point.
And I'm like, well, yeah, gosh, what must that be like to have your entire gender relegated to the background?
Right.
And then Libriomancer. This series is where I'm trying my hand at modern day fantasy. It's set in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Mm-hmm. And it's, in many ways, it's me just geeking out about stuff, about fandom, about science fiction fantasy. The main character is a librarian with the ability to reach into books and pull things out.
Which is awesome.
Lasers, lightsabers, healing potions, the flaming spider from the Goblin books.
Nice.
Because I like that spider and I wanted to bring him back. And it's me playing with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of urban fantasy tropes, a lot of, you know, partly it's my response to some of the more gritty, grim magic is a curse and all is darkness. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, no. Not at all.
But Isaac is a character who can do magic, and maybe it's a burden or whatever, but he's also thinking, this is awesome. I have a lightsaber, man. Yes, there are evil things that want to eat me, but I can do magic. And that's just the coolest thing in the world.
Yes. I was down in the bookstore before I came up here, which is, they put the bookstore in a better place this year, I guess, and they're letting more people in, and I was in there, and I had come to a Right Brain, which is what they call these little mini workshops that they do.
Right.
And I'm sitting next to someone who is reading a Pathfinder Tales book, and on my other side was someone who was desperately trying to figure out what that book was, because they wanted to read it. And it just so happens I'm standing in the bookstore and in walks that person. And she says, what was that book? And I tell her, and so she writes it down. And I said, are you interested in like D&D kind of stuff and Pathfinder? She's like, no, I'm just looking for a really good fantasy series. And the person running the bookstore snatched her up and said, have you read Jim C. Hines? And walks her over to your books and starts telling her in detail about all your books.
Uh-huh.
So, you got a fan in the bookstore who was totally pushing and pimping your stuff, which I thought was awesome.
That is awesome. If you probably shouldn't tell me who that is, because I'll go down and hug them. It would be really awkward and uncomfortable.
Oh, no, they'll love it. They'll absolutely love it. I actually told them they should get one and have you sign it. And they're like, oh, I'm not really into the autograph thing. And I said, you should just do it. It's cool. So,
all the cool kids are doing it.
Yes. So, you got the three series out. Is there more coming in those series? Are you going to do something else, something different?
There are two more books under contract in the Libriomancer series.
Okay. And who's the publisher there?
Daw.
It is Daw.
Daw has been my publisher for all of them so far.
Okay.
The third book is called Unbound. I'm doing final revisions on that right now.
Okay.
The fourth book, I proposed a title and everybody hated it, so we don't actually have a title right now.
Wow. Universal hatred?
Pretty much.
Interesting.
I was looking... I mean, we've got Libriomancer, we've got Codex Born, we've got Unbound, all of these book-related mm-hmm. terms. And I was looking through book terms, and I came across the term bibliochasm. I was like, that sounds kind of cool. And everybody said no. No, that's just too weird, and no.
Interesting, okay.
So it will not be called Bibliochasm, but there will be a fourth book. We have already signed the contracts for that. I'm also working on another project right now for a different publisher,
mm-hmm.
but that came with a non-disclosure agreement, so I can't talk about it yet.
Okay. So you're just teasing us.
I am, totally.
I see how you are.
This is the first time I've had a non-disclosure agreement.
Really?
It's like, cool.
Is it Microsoft?
I could tell you.
But you'd have to kill me.
I would have Chuck Wendig do it.
That's horrible. You're just a tease. Now I see how you are. Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
A little bit.
You know, we have a connection. I don't know if you're aware of this. Years and years ago, I was farting around with my blog, and I spent a weekend changing it, and I found this really cool theme, and I changed it all up.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had said at the time that you should go read this guy, Jim C. Hines. He's got a great blog. So I go, you had the exact same theme. It was the two columns on the side and the top, and you've changed it since, but it was that this was one, like the Atalupa.
Yeah.
We had the same thing. And so I was like, oh, dang. Well, now I got to change it.
So well, I'd like that one because you could customize the crap out of it.
I know.
The problem was it didn't work on mobile devices.
No responsive design.
That's why I did the last change.
So you mentioned, you know, having the female character who is the center of it, and you know, she's a kick-ass, and that seems to be a theme with you. You do a lot of stuff kind of talking about that, and I think that's why you're on the diversity panel, because, you know, we want to talk about that, and we want to get the message out a little bit. You've done a lot of stuff. You've got a lot of people who applaud you for everything you've done. You did the covers, which were awesome.
Thank you.
Yes. I actually did try to suggest a couple of funky old comic book covers that you never did, but that's okay. I won't hold it against you. I don't hold
it against you. There's only so much my body can do.
Yeah, I know.
Book covers can be painful enough.
They can.
Comic book covers, wow.
How did the group cover come together with Mary Robinette and all the other folks? I mean, how do you talk people into doing that?
That was part of a fundraiser I was doing.
Okay.
I had done the initial cover poses in the beginning of the year just as sort of a, hey, there's some weird stuff going on with book covers. Let's look at that and let's do it in a humorous way.
Mm-hmm.
And it took off. It was much more popular than like books I had written. So there was some backlash. There was a lot of response. There was some follow-up looking at, well, what about romance covers?
Mm-hmm. You know,
those sexualize men, so what are you talking about? So I did some romance covers and looked at, yeah, it's really not the same thing. And toward the end of the year, somebody on Twitter had said, oh my God, have you seen such and such book cover? I will pay Jim Hines $5 to do this. And, you know, being a writer and thus desperate for money,
mm-hmm.
that idea stuck. And I ended up thinking, you know, we could do a fundraiser where every level of money that we raised, I put out another book cover.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I started looking for bonus things. John Scalzi and I had two different pose-offs in that whole series. Where we both picked covers and challenged each other.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big bonus prizes was, I will do a group cover. And I started emailing people that I knew. People that I knew had a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And just saying, hey, Yeah, well, Scalzi, Pat Rothfuss, Charles Strauss, Mary Robinette Coel. Would you be interested in doing this cover? And the original cover was, you know, a well-dressed sort of spy-type character surrounded by semi-clad women.
Mm-hmm.
And so we swapped it.
Yep.
And they were all like, this sounds like fun. This will be great.
No one balked.
No one balked.
Wow.
There was a little awkwardness when we got there, and we realized, okay, we're all in this room. We've got a photographer setting up. Everybody take your clothes off. Oh, right. And I mean, we were all in like swimsuits and stuff, but mm-hmm. that was a little bit odd. But no, it was a lot of fun. And the photographer, Al Bogdan, did an awesome job. You know, he actually painted a backdrop for us. He came in, he... very professional photographer. So he took his time, he's getting these different angles. And meanwhile, all of us are sitting there in these relatively painful poses, saying,
anytime soon.
My legs are not going to hold out much longer.
What about, I love that Mary actually got her Hugo in there. I thought that was really clever. That was really, really clever. So yeah, that was awesome. Well, what's next for Jim? I mean, where do you see yourself going? What are you working on? Oh,
that's
design
a really good
sigh. Yeah, that's two. I'm two for two.
Let's see. I've got the fourth book to write.
Yes.
I've got to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. That's a weekend.
After that, yeah, you know, I figure I'll do it between panels.
Yeah.
After that, I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I've got a YA book that I've been playing with and kind of want to write when I have time. I want to broaden what I'm doing a bit more.
Okay.
For years now, I've been putting out about one book a year. I've also been working a day job. Mm-hmm. I've got two kids at home. There's only so much time in a day.
Two questions. Do you care? Do you tell people what you do for a living? I mean, what's the day job?
Oh, I'm a manager for a customer support unit for the state of Michigan.
Okay. And the kids, you raising them right? You teach them Star Wars?
I'm doing my best.
Okay. Next generation of nerds.
My son is very much into a lot of the geek stuff. My daughter, less so.
Okay.
But you know, I've gotten her to come along to a few conventions.
Okay.
She's found some stuff she's into.
Okay, good, 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 good. So, yeah, you want to broaden. You want to do some different stuff. Two books a year? Three? Six?
I was thinking, you know, one a month.
There you go. Oh, you're going to go the Forbeck route. Okay.
No.
12 and 12.
I've actually done two books in the past year, and it burnt me out pretty badly.
I believe it would, yes.
I would love to be able to escape the day job one of these days,
mm-hmm.
but a lot's going to depend on, can we get benefits?
Sure.
Can we get a steady source of income through my wife's job? It's a big jump.
Sure.
And it's not something that we're going to do hastily. But in my dream world, yeah, that's what I'd be doing. You know, two books a year, doing some more short fiction stuff, and seeing what else is out there.
Okay. You going to keep doing what you do on the blog?
I'm probably going to keep blogging.
Okay.
Even the weeks when I'm not into blogging, something will happen, and I will climb up on my box and say, I am angry and must rant about this.
And there's been plenty lately. Plenty.
There usually is. Fandom is a big group,
mm-hmm.
and we all love a lot of this stuff, but we all have very strong opinions that don't always match.
Now, we got to start wrapping up here soon,
sure.
Because I'm running out of time. I've talked to authors who have been fans first, like they've gone to the conventions, they went as fans, and then they got published, and then they went and they're actually on the panels as published authors, and
right.
and it's like there's like a line kind of between them a little bit, and sometimes they cross and sometimes they don't. They go back and forth between being a fan and being an author, but it can be kind of a difficult thing. Do you ever find that for yourself?
I've run into it.
Okay.
I've there was some backlash with when I won the Best Fan Writer Hugo. Mm-hmm. And I look at that, and yeah, I can see both sides of it. You know, on the one hand, yes, I'm a fan. I pretty much discovered fandom as I was getting into being an author and getting into conventions and saying, oh, this is wonderful. I've found my people. Being a published author, yes, it does automatically give me some more visibility. On the other hand, I know that I've worked my ass off on the blog. I've put a lot of time into it. And I trust that that's what people were trying to recognize. I see it both ways.
Okay. That's fair.
Personally, I don't like the boundary.
Okay.
I'm an author, but yes, I'm also a fan. I will go up to other authors, and I have been a complete fanboy before. I will geek out with people. One of the things I love about conventions is I can be hanging out with big name author on the right side and brand new fan on the left, and we're all just chatting about Doctor Who.
Yes.
I know it bothers some people, but...
One of my favorite moments is here at Mile High Con in Denver. I was on a panel about television. And... because I like sci-fi TV.
Right.
And Connie Willis is on the panel. Do you know why Connie Willis was on the panel?
Because she likes sci-fi
TV. She's a die-hard fan of Primeval. And so, I mean... sitting there next to her and her talking about it, she was just a fan. I mean, she was gushing about the show. And it's so great, you know, to have someone of her caliber and who's this great writer and does all this wonderful stuff. But she still is geeking out over Primeval. So at the end of it, I actually did say, I want to thank everybody coming to the Connie Willis Primeval panel. And got a big laugh. So yeah, you know, I think there is... when you're a fan, you're a fan. When you're a writer, you're a writer. And I don't see why they can't kind of cross. Some people disagree.
Some people do, but, you know, those people are wrong.
So, let's see here. I got to wrap this up. Jim, why don't you tell people your website, where they can find you online, what you want them to buy, all that good stuff.
The website is jimchines.com.
Do the Twitters?
I do the Twitters. Twitter, Facebook... I've got something over on Google Plus. I'm on Tumblr. I spend way too much time online.
Who doesn't?
But yeah, all of that is linked at the bottom of the website right now.
Okay. And it's been redesigned and looking really nice.
Thank you. I've actually got somebody who's working on a nice little header graphic to go up top.
Very cool.
That's not ready yet.
Okay.
As for what everybody should buy, well, obviously any of the books that sound interesting, that would be awesome.
Okay.
The other new thing that just came out is called Invisible. It's an ebook, and it's a collection of essays and guest blog posts that other people did for me.
Okay.
Talking about representation in science fiction and fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very proud of it. There's some very powerful stuff in there.
Okay. Very cool. Well, Jim, I want to thank you for coming on, sitting down here with me today. I hope you have a great rest of the conference.
You too, and thank you for having me.
And I'd like to thank Jim C. Hines for sitting down with me at the Pikes Peak Writers Conference. Jim is an awesome guy, and if you haven't read his stuff, you need to go out and make that happen right now. Seriously, just put the iPod down, run into a bookstore, and demand books written by Jim C. Hines. They won't look at you weird. I can almost guarantee it. I'd also like to thank the folks behind the scenes at the Pikes Peak Writers Conference, the volunteers who made it all happen. They put on a great show, and I was really impressed with how well everything was run, and I loved that they gave me a couple of rooms where I could record in nice quietness. Well, mostly quietness. You'll see. There's more. There's more stuff coming. I recorded a few things for you. I got your back. I know what you like to listen to. So anyway, I would like to thank the folks at Pikes Peak Writers, MB, Shannon, JT, MK, all the folks that I am forgetting, Jason and Michelle, and there's a billion of you, and you were all awesome, and Jen, and thanks so much. It was a great conference, and for the folks at SF Signal, you know, the listeners, just keep listening, because there's going to be more stuff coming. I got Chuck, I got Gail, you don't even know what I got. It's good stuff. You're going to like it. Until then, bye. Thank you for the Hugo nomination. Thank you for listening to the SF Signal podcast. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the link to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com, and you can also search SF Signal in iTunes to find the feed. If you enjoyed this podcast, help us boost the signal by telling your friends. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal regulars offer up new content every day, from weekly mind melts featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SFNF field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, new author spotlights, movie reviews, videos, science fiction, fantasy, and horror tidbits, free fiction roundups, and the new genre-related crowdfunding roundups. Click the RSS button in the sidebar to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
Magic wooey.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
And scene.